What we're here for is actually this interesting talk regarding different operating systems for your mobile phone. I mean, who of you is using Android? So that's quite a huge part of you. And considering that Android has been, in the past, a rather open-sourcey operating system, it's interesting that it's moving more and more closed source by Google. It's more and more difficult to make it work without using Google services. And in order to regain freedom, there are alternative operating systems. And on the other hand, it's an interesting area where you can also discover all kinds of solutions, some more mature, some less, but definitely interesting, and maybe operating systems with which one of you or some of you may work in the future. So the stage is yours.
Thank you very much. You've already seen by the presumptuous title that I am putting forth the question more or less about the year of Linux on mobile in this case. Mostly the title was bait, and seeing as there's quite a few people in here, I think it's fair to say that you took the bait. Okay. So, who am I? I go by the unusual nickname of DevRTZ, and I've been daily driving what we call Linux first phones since early 2020, when I received an early adopters edition of the PinePhone. This whole journey basically led me down to becoming a Debian maintainer, getting involved with the Mobian operating system, which is based on top of Debian, but we'll get to that later on. And I contribute to the Phosh ecosystem, which we'll also get to later. And I'm a freelance software developer working on the Librem 5 phone these days. Okay, so the first question that probably comes to mind. So, a lot of you people raised your hand when you said, when you were asked about whether you use Android or not. Can I just, by show of hands, see how many people are somewhat familiar with these terms, mobile Linux? Okay, how many people know what Phosh is about? Okay, I'll give an introduction either way, but the main idea behind this whole mobile Linux movement is basically we want to use ideally only free software. We want to be running a kernel that is very close to mainline Linux, because that basically means that we are not left hanging when it comes to, say your hardware vendor stops support, and if you don't get any Android security updates, in principle you could be throwing your phone away, and you don't really want to be doing that. But again, and another thing that we typically do is that we reuse existing user space components. Think something like glib, glibc, GNOME, KDE, systemd, all these sorts of components, and we are using more or less traditional GNU or non-GNU Linux distributions, and generally strive for like an upstream first mentality. And you might, I've already answered some of the questions of why you might want to be doing this, and software freedom is like the most obvious answer that comes to mind. Most of us are used to software freedom on our servers and laptops and so on. And again, we don't want to have to throw our devices away when vendors stop supporting us. Also, there's this whole privacy argument of we want to know where our data goes. And finally, for me, I also find it very, very nice that these types of devices that I'm going to talk about, I think of them as general purpose computers, plus you have your mobile stack, which enables you to do calling and SMS and internet and all these kinds of things. Also, it's fun, I would say. I mean, this is obviously a kind of a joke picture, but I kind of had to put an image of a terminal in here just to get you hooked. But yeah, I think today we are getting closer and closer to a point where actually using these sorts of devices as a daily driver, and this question I will also explore in more detail later, where actually using them on a daily basis is actually pretty fun. And also, you could be this guy. Do I see him in the room? Maybe. Okay. Also, okay, so, and you might now be thinking, oh, yeah, that we had something similar in the past with the devices like N900 and the OpenMoko FreeRunner. I think, yeah, it passed. Yeah, so I guess how many people in this room are familiar with these types of devices? How many, nice, are still running them today? I mean, I've never actually had one of these, but I always hear great things about them. And yeah, so this is like what we had more than 10, almost 15 years ago, roughly. And the question is, what kind of changed in the last couple of years that we can run mainline Linux kind of devices today? And since 2019 and more broadly than in 2020, the first two devices which explicitly target mainline Linux phones have been released. And yeah, as I said in the introduction, for example, I got my Pine phone early 2020, and this kind of kickstarted, for me at least, this whole thing. There's also like the Pine phone Pro, I think. So, okay, main takeaway for this picture: Librem 5 and PinePhone are definitely the best supported in terms of what you can do with them, how well their like sensors and all of these things work. There's been a lot of work on the SDM845-based devices that is mainly, as far as I know, thanks to the people from the PostmarketOS community. And yeah, you see there's a couple of them. I think one of the notable things that is currently not quite working yet is cameras. But we'll also see later on like how close like the kernels that are usually shipped in, for example, PostmarketOS are actually, how close they are actually to the mainline kernel. And yeah, so there are lots and lots of phones. There are places where, like dark corners in some restaurant or somewhere, where out of nowhere suddenly lots of Linux phones might appear. It's rare, but when there's like hacker conferences, these kinds of things can happen. And I'm personally very, I find it very nice that we are today in a position where there's like a certain variety. Admittedly, not every, yeah. There's differences in the level of support, but we are today at a place in time and space where there's multiple options, like generally speaking, available. If you are interested in device support. I realize that you probably cannot really read this table, but if you have a look down below at the link, this is basically the device support page for devices in post-market OS. And generally speaking, there's lots of green stuff there. So if you have some old Android device in your drawer, maybe it's worth getting it out of there and trying things out. Or later on, maybe you want to buy some device that is not an Android device, but like originally mainline first kind of device. And when it comes to mainline Linux or the Linux kernel in general, first of all, I kind of have to admit that, like, I'm no kernel person, but and this slide I stole from Guido, who did a similar talk last year here. And yeah, the question is, like, how much work is it to actually get mainline Linux or something that is very, very close to mainline Linux working on some smartphone? And yeah, it's basically lots and lots of work. And for example, since it does say GPU drivers and Mesa support in the case of both in the case of the Librem 5 and for the PinePhone, we are very grateful that like there exist the OpenGL libraries and drivers for the GPUs that are used on these devices. Apart from that, there's all sorts of other peripherals that you expect to be working, like, yeah, touch controller, camera, power management units, USB, and so on and so forth. And additionally, for all of these things that are listed right here, you also want to have power management, because otherwise, yeah, it kind of makes for warm pocket and not so great battery life. Just to give you some idea of like how big a difference to the mainline Linux kernel we are talking about, as an example, I've pulled the figures for the Librem 5 and the SDM Linux project. Maybe, yeah, the one noteworthy thing perhaps is you see, okay, two things. On the Librem 5, with the first of all, you see that the kernels that we are shipping are pretty recent. And this is thanks to the work of all the people that, yeah, are putting the effort in. And the there was like some jump in how much delta there was. I think that was probably related to different Wi-Fi cards being used these days. But I can probably be corrected if I'm wrong here. And yeah, so basically we're talking roughly something like 40,000-50,000 lines of difference in lines of code compared to like the kernels by Linus or Greg. Okay, this one was, and this is not actually to bash on anything, but yesterday while I was seeing like a OnePlus 6, so an originally Android phone, I think it came out in 2018, and if my memory doesn't fool me right now, I think end of life was something like 2021. On the post-market OS wiki, there's also some nice introductory or text that like mentions this. And what I've put into the red red markings is the number of partitions. So this is the boot screen basically. And in true Linux fashion, you can obviously get like nice little walls of text. And what I really found curious was that there's like 17, so this says slash dev SDA 17. And below there, there's like SDE 72. So there's like millions of partitions. I believe that's probably where the firmware and things like that are stored. I don't exactly know why it's that much, but maybe some of you will have the answer for that later. And I just wanted to put this here because I found it curious. Okay, so generally I've kind of outlined the approach that was taken, which was like, yeah, basically only free software, reuse, more traditional user space and adapt that where needed. One of the alternatives might have been to use something like the or base on top of the Android open source project, and the immediate benefit that you reap is that you get pretty broad device support, and of course only as long as Android is supported for your device. And the other thing is that all of these proprietary binary blobs for drivers and middleware, like all the location services, don't go away. Admittedly, first of all, I've never run an Android phone, so I might get some details wrong. But as far as I'm aware, like for location services, you typically would need to have like Google Play services. There are things like Micro-G and others, of course, and that is like very good that this is a possibility. But yeah, and the most problematic point for me is that we're still basically relying on Google. And it is my understanding that like when a new Android version is released, Google basically dumps a lot of code on you, and there's like no, I wouldn't really call it like a traditional community-driven project, but instead it's, yeah. I mean, it's Google's right to do that way, but when you think about like the news from the last couple of weeks with the whole web environment integrity attestation thing, that maybe gives some idea of why we want to avoid Google and other like surveillance capitalist pigs in generally and in the future, and as much as possible. The thing on the bottom there is just like the a kernel that, like a downstream kernel that is used in Lineage OS for the OnePlus 6, like the Android kernel, as far as I understand it. And you see that there's like 5 million lines of code difference, and that is not something that you maintain like during your weekends. So if you contrast this with like the 50,000 lines of code, that seems like from a layman's perspective much more reasonable to handle. Okay, going on. Also there's, when going the Android route, you could use some of the things like Helium and libhybris, which basically comes down to, yeah, that these are hardware abstraction layers, and they definitely have their uses when you want to run like I'm just going to call it GNU user space from now on, or similar, on top of like Android hardware. But this is not really what this talk right here is about. And before we really get started, in true year of the Linux on XY fashion, there's multiple different options, because as we all know, Linux is about choice or something. And I'm gonna talk primarily about Phosh, because that is what I've been involved in, and I just list these other devices. Notably is definitely the GNOME shell, which I think since last year there have been efforts to make that adapt to smaller screens. As far as I know, that's mainly being pushed by one or two persons, and they're like doing really, really nice work. If you're more into the KDE side of things, there's Plasma Mobile. Lumiri, on the other hand, is the user or the desktop environment on Ubuntu Touch. I'm not sure if Nemo is actually a desktop environment or if it's Mer. Does anyone know? Like from Memo times, I think that basically. I've been told that Nemo Mobile is built on the Glacier UI. And for like the more hackery types who like their tiling window managers, there is SXMO/SWMO, which is basically i3 or Sway for mobile devices. They like have lots of different small utilities, and they chain them together like in the Unix philosophy kind of way of do one thing and do it good. It's basically from the Suckless people, if you're familiar with them. Okay, but as I said, I'm gonna mainly be focusing on Phosh. And Phosh is a like mobile-friendly graphical shell. There's basically some more components, but I'll get to that. It's touch input oriented, uses Wayland, is written with GTK, and builds atop on like GNOME components. I didn't necessarily want to have music playing there. I'm not sure if that's on the video or not, but so this is like how the shell generally behaves. And as you can see, you can just launch your Firefox and like all of the good things that you love from your laptops and desktops and so on. Okay. This right here, and again, apparently I've not cut the audio out. This is now showing the lock screen. What you can see here, for example, is like the ticket plugin, which allows you to like show your bus ticket or Deutschland ticket or whatever from the like convenience of your lock screen without having to unlock the device, and some calendar, which in my case just lists Froscon today and tomorrow. Woo! Okay, so this is kind of how the stack looks like. Let's go from bottom to top. You obviously have like a Linux kernel, some like whatever your preferred init system is. In GNOME's case, that's often like systemd. You have your C libraries, you have things like Mesa for graphics support, network manager and modem manager to handle like all your network connections and the actual calling and so on. IIO sensor proxy, uPower, and on top of that, a regular GNOME session that you might also be running on your laptops. There you have things like GNOME settings daemon and so on, and the four components on the top, Fosh I've already talked about as being like the actual shell. Fock is the Wayland compositor, so Fock and Fosh talk a lot to each other. Squeakboard is our on-screen keyboard, and Feedback D is a component which deals with things like haptic, LED, feedback, some notification sounds. And maybe one thing to note, Feedback D recently got support for like device descriptions. I'm mixing some things up. That's in a sub-project that is both used by Feedback D as well as Fosh. So, for example, if you have a notch on your phone, which like the OnePlus 6, if I remember correctly, and similar devices do, you ideally don't want to be rendering some text in that space. And recently, like a few months or so ago, support was added to make that possible. Okay. Now we can also talk about the like application toolkits that make it possible. Maybe appears I've broken the video. Well, you'll have to excuse me, but let me maybe quickly summarize what we've been basically doing. It's kind of weird just having this black screen, but use your imagination. We're basically using like widgets, toolkits, which make it relatively easy and painless to design mobile applications. So as I've said multiple times now, we are reusing lots of GNOME stuff, and when you think about that, especially a few years ago, they were made for the desktop and desktop only. So the question was, we obviously didn't want to rewrite every single application so that you have one version that works great on the phone and one that works great on the desktop. So instead, a couple of different widgets have been made to make it possible to like have the windows of applications adapt to the smaller screen estate that you have on your smartphones or tablets for that matter. And I think this is roughly misread the slide. I'll need a quick sip. And I think we're doing okay for time. Oh, okay, really? Okay. I thought I was doing okay for time.
How much time do you plan for questions?
Quite a lot. Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Good. So one of the questions that people in the mobile Linux space get asked a lot is whether this is these kinds of devices, whether you can rely on them to be your daily driver. And the answer is, well, it kind of depends. The bare essentials that you would expect have been there for quite a long time. So that is calling obviously works, SMS, MMS, internet browsing, email, these sorts of things. When it comes to instant messaging, XMPP and Matrix, which are very popular in the free software communities, have a couple of decent clients. When it comes to something like Signal, there are some options. In the case of Signal specifically, I mean, there's unofficial applications. And if my memory serves, like the Signal authors have been like not very welcoming towards third-party applications, to put it like that. Anyway, there are some options where you can, for example, use the desktop application and have it scaled down. And in the case of WhatsApp, most of the people here probably are trying to get away off from all of that stuff. So I don't know. There might be some third-party application that you can run. Battery life is another question that comes up ever so often because it's really, really needed when you want to use these as a daily device. And in the last couple of months, like on the Librem 5, that is like the device that I've been using the most or almost exclusively during the last 2 years. So all of my experiences that I'm sharing here should be taken in that context. So I don't quite know how it is on other devices. And you, like one of the things that you might recognize a user of mobile Linux devices by is that he has a power bank handy when on larger travels. When it comes to camera, there have also been a couple of really nice additions that have been made like during the last year. Video recording is possible, focus exposure and so on is also working nowadays automatically. A couple of things that might be missing are like if you want, you know, currently don't get EXIF information about the location where you took a photo or something like that. Lib camera and Pipewire I've listed here because there has been a lot of work recently on making sure that like WebRTC and these kinds of things work. On the Librem 5, we're not quite there yet today where all of these things work out of the box, but there's lots of development in that space as well. Maps works. And lots and lots of other things. Maybe I can go to like a quick demo and So one of the, maybe before I do that, with these devices you can basically attach like a dock to that or use it in my case to give presentations. So right now this phone is docked on a USB-C dock, I get HDMI out, and this is how I am currently running my presentation, which is a pretty cool thing. Obviously, there are some rough edges. We can talk about it later, maybe. Okay, and now I can maybe just quickly give you a little tour of how this looks like. What's my time left?
10 minutes.
10 minutes and then Q&A?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I'm just gonna hide behind. Yeah, okay. So what I'm gonna do right now is I'm launching the camera application and I'm gonna move that to the to this screen. Okay, apparently not. Then maybe I'll have to do something else. You'll just have to excuse. This. Okay, looks better. And now if I go here and double click the header bar, you can now see like the camera. For some weird reason, the focus says that it's at the value of minus 10. That doesn't seem quite right, but we have the developer of the camera application here, and I'm sure they're taking notes and and are fixing it. Okay, so as a quick explanation, I'm currently showing the Mobian, Librem 5 of the Mobian distribution. And let me just maybe quickly turn off one additional thing right here, because if, okay, perfect. If you noticed, oh, that's really unfortunate, the screen froze. Well, it's apparently not quite the year of Linux on mobile, but maybe next year. What? I mean, seriously, there's like, okay, maybe I'll do it like this. I'm not sure how good that works for you, but okay, I'll try to be hold it as still as humanly possible. You have all kinds of different applications nowadays here, like what you'd expect from a phone, like two-factor authentication. Maybe one thing, the calling application does support SIP, and I've registered my event phone account on this not on this phone, but on this phone. I always get the two confused. And I mean, there's like more geeky things that you might do, which is like you could run Mumble on this and join some company meeting. Or maybe I should enable Wi-Fi. We're gonna close that because we're having a conversation here and not somewhere in the internet. There's fun things like conference schedule viewer, so I can just see all of the nice talks that we are having here. And maybe since it didn't quite work out here, we can stop it this part of the presentation here and go back to the slides. One moment, please. Did I? Just need to open the terminal here real quick to open my PDF presenter console, which I accidentally closed earlier. Okay, I'll have to quickly disconnect and reconnect this one. I'm sorry. Maybe in the meantime, are there already some impressions? And do we have like a microphone? Okay. I'm not quite finished, but while I do my thing, can maybe. I'm gonna reattach the phone right now, so maybe it should reappear.
Shall we take then that as an opportunity for
maybe one question, okay. If there is one? Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Do you know any plans to run Android applications on a non-Android Linux, like Windows 11 does it?
Yeah, there is.
Because this is something very nice and, yeah, would be great.
Yeah, this is actually something that I wanted to talk about, but time flies so quickly. I mean, if we're, there's like, I realize that there's lots of applications that you might be missing and you absolutely rely on from your, from Android. There is like the WayDroid project, which you can use to run, for example, a lineage operating system. Like, I don't exactly know what kind of magic goes on behind the scenes, but you can use that to run different, what's the word I'm looking for? Apps. Right. I'm not used to this concept. Okay. Going on, there's all sorts of different distributions. The Debian-based are Mobian, which is like a thin layer on top of Debian. PureS, which is what Purism ships with the Librem 5. Notable here is that the exact same software also like runs on their laptop. I did bring it just in case the phone thing wouldn't work, but it worked mostly. The camera thing was a bit unfortunate, but since time is running out, lots of different distributions. You can read that up yourself later. What I personally find very enjoyable when developing for Linux Mobile is that there's no need to download 10 gigabytes of SDKs and developer accounts and all of this like weird things. You don't even need to own any hardware to like develop on them. So things like LibAdvaita, which is like the GTK4 library that implements like the GNOME human interface guidelines, and that's one of the things that make it really nice and easy to write your favorite application in your favorite language, be it C or GObject kind of C or Rust or Python or even JavaScript, if that's your thing. You can run like Fosh nested in other kinds of desktop environments. Check out that link if you're more interested in that. In the future, there were a lot of things that, or there are definitely things that are currently missing, and one notable thing is that we are lacking like runtime management for background applications. So while they would not usually like try drawing something to the screen, their main loops would still be running and consuming resources, and you don't want that. Things like push notifications are currently being worked on, as far as I know, by the KDE people, if I'm not making any mistakes. Things like waking up the phone on IP connections, more applications, and so on. And if you want to get involved, you can obviously write the application that you're missing the most. That would be great. You can look at packaging mobile-friendly applications for your distribution of choice. If you have the necessary skills, mainline kernel, like write mainlineable patches and send them to the kernel mailing list to get your device into a better supported state in mainline, and buy Linux first hardware. Just a quick note, while we were at FOSDEM earlier this year, there was some discussion about creating some type of organization, maybe to have some working group kind of thing. Think maybe not quite IETF, but some like body that handles things in the mobile space. There was a nice talk by this is my contact information, by Crafty Guy from the PostmarketOS people. Here are some recommended talks if you are inclined to learn more. All kinds of different things, and I think so. I will put these slides up. All of these are actually links. You can see it because it doesn't have the nice little blue colored highlight. But once I've put the slides up, you can check that out. But just searching for the talk titles should also yield results. Some more links. Special shout out to Linmob, who is maintaining some nice sites listing all the different kinds of applications that are currently available in the different distributions and like with some details on how well they work, and I can only recommend it. And these are links to the homepages of the vendors for the Librem 5 and Pine 64 distributions. And with that, I will thank you, and I will thank all of the community that made all of these kind of things possible, from kernel to distributions to Mesa, GNOME. I did have one slide which said standing on the shoulders of a giant GNOME, but I think that kind of got lost. I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. Ah, okay. Then I'm just misremembering. Thank you for your remark. Okay, thanks.
Also for your great presentation, and also for managing the time. I mean, basically, we don't have to do any kind of magic now. We have some time left for questions. So I've had one arm raised before. Generally speaking, who has some questions? Microphone or not?
Then I don't have to repeat the question.
In which price range is the Libre? Librem 5 phones, because I want to look it up, but the shop website give me a 404.
There was some DDoS attack on parts of our on Purism's infrastructure, but that should be resolved by now. To answer your first question, the regular Librem 5 does cost quite a bit. It's 1,300, if I'm not mistaken. I realize that's a lot of money. The one thing that you have to keep in mind, though, is that Purism does finance a lot of the software development. Maybe that didn't came through in this particular talk so much, but all of the nice things that, not all of the nice things, but a substantial part of what made the whole GNOME being able to run in mobile, I would say, would not have been possible without Purism financing all of that, and without all the people in the GNOME community making all of GNOME Core adaptive, and also lots of other third-party or applications that are in GNOME Circle, if you've heard of the term. Does that answer your question? Sure, you're welcome.
Are there any further questions? It doesn't seem so. Last chance. Or you can, of course, talk to Evangelos.
Yeah.
Other sure. opportunities, but.
How is stability regarding things like waking up from sleep when a call arrives? I mean, you said that calls are working. But
reliably,
are they
yes.
also reliably working?
I mean, it has admittedly been kind of a... It took some time in actually getting there. So on the Librem 5, there was experimental suspend, and I think it's actually... if you go to GNOME Control Center, to the power panel, you still get, at least on PureOS, I don't think that's the case on Mobian, and probably also not on PostgreSQL, but on PureOS you get this dialogue that kind of warns you that it's in principle experimental, but that message has been there since a long time, and probably we can get rid of that by now, because it has been the whole wake up thing is really, really quick actually. So in the beginning, the time it took to have the screen light up and show you the UI so that you can accept the incoming call was at the very beginning, I think 5-6 seconds. So maybe someone who's a bit impatient has already hung up on you, but nowadays it's working nicely. Also, since I notice you're wearing a NixOS t-shirt, I think there are people who made Librem 5 work on NixOS. Follow up? Yeah.
Do you know how this relates to the Pine phone?
Same as saying the audience. I have it mostly on my desk, and not many people call me on that phone, but I assume it's working reasonably fast as well. As fast as the hardware allows it, but that, like, for the waking up part, that should be, I'd say, quasi instantaneous.
Can you say if there's one outstanding phone which is best supported regarding its hardware components?
Definitely the Librem 5, but that's...
Which one?
The Librem 5. But again, that's like definitely the most expensive option. We have to admit that, but that is reflected in how well it works. And one more note towards that, we do have we are shipping some older components, so not like the late, at least not yet the latest and greatest in GNOME technologies. But we are having on the pure S distribution a much more polished experience, I would say, at least today. Obviously, we want to going forward have that all working in Debian itself. So, yeah, and we're also doing having lots of great cross project collaboration.
Okay, so we have 7 minutes left, so we have enough time for a few questions.
Okay, thank you. Actually, this is not so much a question as some additional information about the PinePhones. Because you're right, the Librem is the one with the best specs and it's well supported. But if you want to contribute, it might be a bit expensive. So the cheapest PinePhone, the developer edition, is around $150 if you order it from Pine 64.
Plus income tax,
trouble is this one is comparatively slow. It's just for exploring the operating system. The PinePhone Plus has Pro. Some upgraded CPU power. It's around €400. So, but I'm not very familiar with how well it actually runs. The PinePhone is supported by many OSs, and you also find some more or less good Android distributions which you can alternatively boot from an SD card. So it might be nice if you want to experiment to start with the PinePhone.
Yeah, it's great for tinkering, definitely.
The Librem, I've looked into it because I was really considering it. It's really an investment. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. But thanks for all your development.
You have to have the necessary pocket change, admittedly.
Are there any further questions? Last call for questions. Then, let me thank you, Evangelos, for your great talk, and thank you also for listening, for being here, for asking questions, and enjoy the FrostCon.